Well, this morning, I know it may be a shock, but that is the verse we're going to be in. I turned in one to Melissa on Thursday, and then she called me on Friday to ask if there was a word missing or not. And I said, well, don't put that one in because I've changed it. So it would have been a mess up had it not been changed by Melissa. But anyway, we are going to be in Genesis chapter 14 in just a moment. And I want to preface this message because of the world that we live in today and the things that go on. And you're all aware of all the things that have went on this past week, and not just this past week, but months. And all the things that we deal with in our world. But even in that, we have hope. And we need to understand that. And so this morning, as we go into this message, I want us to find the hope and the understanding of the power that we have in our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead, and we're going to start reading all of the verse today. It's in Exodus. There's Genesis up there, so I was wrong anyway. So you would be shocked if you came in here and you read everything up there was correct. So we are going to be in Exodus chapter 14, so I'll give you a chance to turn all the way over one book. And it's in Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. It says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land. And the waters were divided. Let's pray. Father God, in all of our mistakes and all of the things that we do wrong, Lord, we know that you're still there and you are the cause of everything. So, Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would move in this place, that we would be submissive to your Spirit, understanding what it is you have for us, that you'd speak to us in a way that only you can and that we need as individuals. Lord, bless your time, bless your word, and may it be only about you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. This one verse is, of course, taking place right before the crossing of the Red Sea. And we know kind of the history of it. We've heard enough of it that the children of Israel have been released from Egypt. And they had went through the wilderness or started through the wilderness. And because of that, Pharaoh had, God had hardened his heart, and he was going to get to a point where he was going to go after them. He'd lost all this slavery, this free work, this free slavery. And so he ended up chasing them down, and he'd come upon them at the edge of the Red Sea. And at that point, God had taken and they were led by a cloud, the Shekinah glory cloud of a day, and fire by night as they traveled. And so it says that that cloud and that fire moved around behind them, and it separated the Egyptian army from the children of Israel. Through studying over the past week or so, they estimate that there was somewhere around between 1 to 2 million people in the tribe of in the Israelites. Okay. Sometimes we look back, if you've seen that old Charlton Heston movie, The Ten Commandments, or some of those older movies, and you see the way that they set it up for the movie, of course they cannot have a million extras. And so sometimes we get in our mind that it's this little pod that is following Moses and following the fire and the cloud through the wilderness. But it states that there was 600,000 men, and that would be men of fighting age. And then you take the women and the children on top of that, and then the mixed race that went with them, because not only did just the children of Israel leave Egypt, but anybody that was a slave left with them. So there were people of other tribes that went with them. And so they estimate that there was between 1 and 2 million people that were walking through the wilderness. And so when we picture that, and they come, and here they've got the Red Sea on one side, and they've got Pharaoh's army on the other side, and God had told Moses in a few verses earlier, he said, just go out there and raise your rod and raise your hand and divide the sea. Simple enough, right? Stop and think about what God is asking Moses to do. I can raise my hand. I could even go out here to the lake, and if God said, go out here to the lake and raise your hand over the lake, I could probably do that. And if I had a rod in my hand, and it wasn't a magic rod, it was just a staff, and I could even raise that over the sea. So when God asks you to do the little things, you and I can generally do the little things. Because that wouldn't have took a whole lot of faith. But when he added that other part on, he says, and divide the sea. Wait a minute. Time out. Nobody's ever done that before, and you're asking me to do something that I have never done before, that no one has ever done before. God asks us to do the big and the little things in our daily life. Now, why is that important? Because all of their world as they knew it was crumbling. They had finally got out of Egypt. They were no longer in slavery, and they're walking and wandering through the wilderness. And yes, there were many that complained and were disgruntled and wished they were back in Egypt and all of those things. But they were out there and thinking, we've got it made. And then all of a sudden, here's Pharaoh's army. But then on the other side is that ocean, that sea that they cannot cross in their mind. There's no way that we can get all of our children and all of the things that we've brought out of Egypt, we can get those across this Red Sea. God, why are you allowing this to happen? Now, they didn't say that to God. They said it to Moses. They said, why did you bring us out here? Were there not enough graves in Egypt? Why are you allowing this to happen? And we could stop right there. And you and I could find things in our life and say, God, why are you allowing this to happen? I don't understand. I don't understand why everything was going good, and then all of a sudden, God, it seems like it's out of control. It seems like something has happened, and for a moment, if I don't have faith and I'm standing in that crowd, I would think, God messed up. But God didn't mess up. God was going to deliver them from something that they could not get out of. Now, if there had been a bridge across the Red Sea, hey, it may be hard, but we can eventually get all of these people single file across that bridge and we can get out of here. They could have done it if there was a bridge, but there wasn't. There was no possible way. Scholars estimate that where they crossed, and there's two guesses through scholars of the arms of the Red Sea, at about 10 and a half miles across, where they think they probably crossed. Now, if that's the case, they had to walk 10 and a half miles through the Red Sea. They're not going to swim 10 and a half miles. There's no way they're doing that on their own. And so God brought them to a place where they had to depend on Him. You and I need to understand that there are times in our life that God is going to bring us to a point to where you cannot do it on your own, and you are going to have to depend on Him. We face those times in our life quite often. But I want us to look at what God does for the children of Israel. Yes, he asked Moses to lift up his hand and lift up his rod and stretch out his hand over the water and divide it. And as hard as that would have been, with everything that he had seen, he had enough faith to do that. And so in 21, it tells us that he did stretch out his hand over the sea. He did the little thing. And then God took over. It says God caused what took place next. The Lord caused the sea to go back. Sometimes when we hear God say, do the little thing and then do the big thing, we tend to not do the little thing because we are pretty sure we can't do the big thing. And so we hesitate even on the little things. But God is going to deliver the children of Israel from Pharaoh's army. And when you and I face those times in our life that we don't understand, it seems like our back is against the wall. There's no possible way that you and I can get through this. Why is this happening? God says, I'll deliver you. But you've got to do the small things. You've got to trust me. And so he wants him to do the small things. And then God begins to do his part. He caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. Now, like I was talking about, there's two places that scholars believe that they crossed the Red Sea. It has two arms towards the top of it. Some scholars believe that they crossed on the Suez side, and the others the Aqaba side. But either way, both of those basically run north and south. And so God causes an east wind to come across that water. And it wasn't just a normal east wind. Because, you know, I've lived around Stockton Lake all my life. And a lot of the arms run north and south. And I've been around when there's been a lot of east winds blow. And I've never seen dry ground at the Stockton Lake. But get this, he says, God, the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. God took just a normal east wind and empowered it with strength. Don't lose this. God took something normal. Those people that lived in that area probably felt east winds every single day. And then God takes what something was normal, something a part of everyday life, and He empowers it, and it becomes a strong east wind. And not just a heavy gust, but a strong east wind that is able to blow into that sea and divide it. God took something normal every day, applied His strength, and did something never seen before. Most of us, if we were asked, are you strange or are you normal? Are you different or are you normal? Now, there are some that would probably say they're different, but you know what I'm getting at. We would consider ourselves normal. I'm not above average. I don't know. There's probably some things I'm below average, but I'm probably pretty normal, and so are you. But God wants to do something no one else has ever seen before by applying His strength to the normal. Allow God to apply His strength to you, and He'll do something that you've never seen done before. He will change your world. So that night, God takes this strong east wind. And remember what's taking place. You've got the fire, the pillar of fire that's separating the Egyptian army from a million people here of the tribe of Israel. And in all of that, this east wind is blowing. And get how long it blows. It blows all night long. And my God created the whole world in 6 days. Could He have not dried that ocean just like that? Yeah. So why all night? I could not get over that this week. I'm reading through it and I can understand where God applies His power to something normal. And I can see that, but I'm thinking, God, why did You wait all night long? You've got the Egyptian army right there, and you've got people wanting to turn around and go back, and you've got people standing here on the side of the of the sea waiting to see, and they're feeling this wind, and they're watching the waves go up and stand up, and they're seeing all of this. Why did it take all night? You know what I come up with? Not a thing. Because I'm not God. God doesn't use an Apple Watch. He doesn't use a Timex. He doesn't use a Rolex. He doesn't use our timing. God set it up to where in the morning, and you can go on down and read a verse, and it says in 24, "Now it came to pass in the morning, watch, the Lord looked down on the army," and he goes on, and that's when Moses stretched out his arm and the water came back together. But it says in the morning, God delivered the people. God's timing, though I don't understand it, and I'm sure that these people on the edge of the Red Sea, they're thinking, okay, something's happening. But a million people back over here closer to the fire, closer to the Egyptian army, they're thinking, okay, what's going on? They don't understand God's timing. Why is He taking so long to do something? It's nighttime. It's all night long. And He didn't tell them, well, come morning, you'll be able to be through. By morning, you'll be on the other side. He never told them that. He just said, go stretch your hand out. And then all night long, this east wind blows, a strong east wind blows all night. Man, can you imagine how long of a night that was? We've all had those nights when maybe somebody wasn't healthy or maybe something was going to happen the next day, and it just seems like this night will not get over. I'm pretty sure that's probably how they felt. Knowing that God could have in an instant split that water, dried that ground, and done it some miraculous way, which this was a miracle, don't get me wrong, but God could have done it differently in an instant. But He made them go through the darkness. There are so many times in our lives that we have to go through some darkness. Because when you go through the darkness, and then comes the morning, you so appreciate it. He made them go through the darkness. And maybe they started walking when it was still dark. I'm sure they probably did. And as they begin to walk in the darkness, they're still waiting until morning, not knowing what comes with the morning. And I can stop right there and say, you know, we walk through a lot of darkness. We walk through a lot of wilderness as they did. But we know what comes in the morning. I know that we are living in darkness with our world, with all that's going on, with all that's taking place, and the way they are so anti-God, we know we are in the darkness. And when Jesus Christ splits that eastern sky and morning comes, I know what's coming in the morning. I know He's coming back to get me. And you can know that too. And I know many of you do. But sometimes all night is a long time. He goes on to say, after the strong east wind, all night, God, the Lord caused it and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Do you ever wonder what Moses was thinking at that time? I did it! I just held my hand out over the water. I just held my rod up. And the sea was divided. That's not... Let's read it again. the Lord caused the sea to go back by the strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Moses didn't do anything to divide that water. But God had called him to be a part of it, of something miraculous, by doing the little things. He calls us to do the little things, and we become a part of the miraculous. He stood there and he watched the sea go back. He felt that wind. He stood there all night long and began to walk through that sea on dry ground where the waters had been divided. And even though he knew God had said, "You do this, you divide the water," I'm pretty sure when he saw the power of God, he realized it wasn't him. Because it says God made the sea into dry land. Well, if a strong enough wind blows long enough, then it's going to dry out the ground. Some people want to argue that it was just a natural phenomenon that happened. It wasn't God, but it was God. Because my Bible says God caused it, and it happened. It says in a wall, the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So, God is going to use His power in something normal, His power in you and me. He is going to do it in His timing, not yours, not mine, but only His. We're not going to understand it, but we can trust it. We can know that it's going to happen. And then God is going to take and He's going to do something that's never been seen before. He's going to do it His way. A wall of water on one side and a wall of water on the other. That was the way God chose to do it. Look at this as we understand that the children of Israel had to walk through this. Like I said, some scholars believe 10.5 miles. Some in the dark, maybe some near sunrise, with a wall of water on both sides, praying that that wind doesn't stop. I stop and I think, how hard would it have been to start walking into that water? Hey, it's dry ground. If you've ever been on a straight stretch out in Kansas or any other state that has a straight, Texas has them, there's a lot of them that have them, but it's 10 miles just as straight as a string. And when you're standing back and you're in your car and you're looking and you see something down that road, 10 miles down the road is a dot. So it would look like you are walking into a V of walls of water until you take the next step and that V's a little farther. Until you take the next step and that V's a little farther. Until you get that step to where you can finally see the shore where it's open. So to walk and to do it God's way, to walk that distance with walls of water on both sides. That would be terrifying. But you know what else would be terrifying? Your enemy is chasing you. You know, through it all, I mean, why would He not just take and do it immediately? That we discussed that already. But then on top of that, why would He ever allow that Philistine army to keep chasing? Why would He allow the enemy, I said Philistine, excuse me, Egyptian army, why would that Egyptian army, why wouldn't He just take care of them right there? Israelites had the fear of the enemy all night long. They had the fear of the water before them, the fear of the army behind them, the fear of the walls of water beside them. All they had was just to take one step at a time. His way, that had never been done before. It was in darkness with the enemy chasing. It had to have been terrifying at times. And sometimes the things that we face, we read the news, we watch it, and we see how terrifying it is that the world could just care less about a life and care more about an opinion. Whatever it is you're going through, it's probably not a 10-mile tunnel in the dark with danger in front of you, danger beside you, and danger behind you. But it can feel like it. It can be just as terrifying when you know that you're supposed to take a step at a time and just trust. But God wants to deliver us. He doesn't want us to live in fear of what's in front of us. That's why He gives us the hope in Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to fear the things that are beside us, because He's taken care of that. He goes before us. He goes with us. And what's behind us, He's taken care of with the cross and the blood of Jesus. So what we have to understand is these same things. It's His strength, it's His timing, and it's His way that's going to deliver you and me through tomorrow, through today. And He's asking you to do the little things so that the miracles can happen. There may be people here today that have never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. You may feel like things are okay, but there's an army of enemies around you. You may feel like, oh, I'll get through somehow. No, there's a sea that's going to stop you one day. So we have to take and we have to understand. My prayer is that you would understand that there is only one way of deliverance. And the Lord caused that. Through His strength, through the power of the blood of Jesus on the cross. In His timing, it's not something you can put off. Because the Bible says your life is but a vapor which appears for a little bit and then vanishes away. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We don't control the timing, He does. So why would you chance that? And it's His way. Well, when I get older, then I'll do it. That choice is not up to you. It's His way. And His way is, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. It is only His way. It is not how good you are. It is not what you're going to be able to do. It is not what you have done. That doesn't matter. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ, through the cross of Jesus Christ, that we have redemption. For us, we need deliverance. And we have that deliverance through Jesus for the hope to do the little things, one step at a time, relying on Him, knowing that He goes before us and behind us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We talked about what the Lord caused to happen that day for deliverance. We talked about what he did on the cross of Calvary for deliverance. I don't know what he's going to do to deliver you from the situation you're living in right now. But I know he's going to ask you to do the little things. And when you do the little things and let his power supply the natural, he'll take care of it all. So do the little things. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you and we thank you so much for your word, Lord, in all you do. Lord, watch over us. Draw us close to you. Help us to understand what it is we need to hear from your word today. Help us to apply it to our lives. In your precious name we pray. Amen.